Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Sutta uvacha.
Sutta uvacha.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Evam.
Evam.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Mano,
Vag,
Drishti,
Vrittibhi,
Atmani,
Atmanam,
Avesha,
Sa,
Antasvasa,
Uparamat,
Sutta Uvacha, Krishna evam Bhagavati, Manovag Drishti Vrittivi, Atmanyatmanam Avesha, Sontakshvasa Uparamat,
Sutta
Uvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Atmanyatmanam
Avesha,
Sontakshvasa
Uparamat,
Sutta Uvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati, Manovag Drishti Vrittivi, Atmanyatmanam
Avesha,
Sontakshvasa Uparamat,
Sutta Uvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Atmanyatmanam Avesha,
Atmanyatmanam Avesha,
Santasvasa Uparamat,
Santasvasa Uparamat,
Sutta Uvacha,
Sutta Uvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Manobhag Drishti Vrittivi,
Manobhag Drishti Vrittivi,
Atman Yatmanam Avesha,
Atman Yatmanam Avesha,
Somtak Shvasa Uparamat,
Somtak Shvasa Uparamat,
Sutuvacha,
Sutuvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Atmanyatmanam Avesha,
Atmanyatmanam Avesha,
Somtashvasha Uparamat,
Somtashvasha Uparamat,
Anyone else?
Sutta Uvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Manovag Drishti Vrittivi,
Atmanyatmanam Avesha,
Atmanyatmanam Avesha,
Sontasvasa Uparamat,
Sontasvasa Uparamat, Sutta Uvacha,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Krishna evam Bhagavati,
Manovag Drishti
Vrittivi,
Atmanyatmanam
Avesha, Somtasvasa Uparamat.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Goswami said.
Sutta Goswami said.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Evam.
Evam.
Only.
Only.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Mana.
Mana.
with mind.
Mind.
Vak,
speech.
Drishti,
sight.
Vrittibhi,
activities.
Atmani,
unto the super soul.
Atmanam,
the living being.
Avesha,
having merged in.
Sa,
he.
Antashvasa,
inhaling.
Uparamat,
became silent.
Sutta Goswami
said,
thus Bhishma Dev
merged himself
in the Supersoul,
Lord Shri
Krishna, the Supreme
Personality of Godhead,
with his
mind, speech,
sight, and
actions.
And thus
he became silent,
and his
breathing stopped.
Purport.
The
stage attained by
Bhishma Dev
while quitting his
material body
is called
Nirvikalpa
Samadhi,
because
he merged his self
into thinking of
the Lord
and his
mind into remembering
his different activities.
He chanted
the glories of the
Lord,
and by his
sight he began
to see the Lord
personally present
before him,
and thus
all his activities
became concentrated
upon the Lord
without deviation.
This
is the highest
stage of perfection,
and it
is possible for everyone
to attain this
stage by practice
of devotional service.
The devotional
service of the Lord
consists of
9 principles of
service
activities,
and they are
1. Hearing,
2. Chanting,
3.
Remembering,
4. Serving the
Lord,
5.
Worshipping,
6. Praying,
7.
Executing the orders,
8.
Fraternizing,
and 9.
Fully surrendering.
Any
one of them or
all of them
are equally
competent to
award the desired
result,
but
they require to be
practiced
persistently
under the
guidance of an
expert devotee of the
Lord.
The first
item, hearing,
is the most
important item of
all,
and therefore hearing
of the
Bhagavad Gita
and later on
Srimad Bhagavatam
is
essential
for the serious
candidate who
wants to attain the
stage of Bhishma
Dev at the end.
The
unique situation
at Bhishma Dev's
time of death
can be
attained even though
Lord Krishna may
not be personally
present.
His
words of
the Bhagavad Gita
or those of
Srimad Bhagavatam
are identical
with
the Lord.
They are sound
incarnations of
the Lord,
and one can
fully utilize them
to be entitled
to attain the
stage of Sri
Bhishma Dev,
who is one
of the 8 Vasus.
Every
man or animal
must die at a
certain stage of
life,
but one who
dies like
Bhishma Dev
attains perfection,
and one
who dies forced
by the laws
of nature dies
like an animal.
That is
the difference between
a man and an
animal.
The human
form of life is
especially meant
for dying
like Bhishma Dev.
Om Agyan
Timurandasya Gananjana
Salakaya
Chakshun Minitam
Nina Tasma Shri
Gurave Namaha
Mukam
Kuroti Vachalam
Pangum Langa
Yate Garim
Yat Kripa
Tamaham Vande
Shri Gunundina
Taranam
Nama
Om Vishnu Budaya
Krishna
Pristaya Bhutale
Srimati
Bhakti Vedanta
Swamini Tinamine
Namaste
Saraswati
Devi Gauravani
Pacharane
Nirvishesha
Sanyavari
Pastachade
Sitarane
Jai
Shri Krishna
Chaitanya,
Prabhu
Nityananda,
Shri Advaita
Gadadhara
Shiva Siddhi
Gaura Bhaktivinoda.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Hare
Hare.
Hare
Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Vanchakalpa
Tirubhyascha,
Kripa
Sindhubhyeva
Cha,
Patitanam
Pavanibhyo
Vaishnavibhyo
Namo Namaha.
So here we're hearing about the passing of Bhishma Dev. Which is often used as an example of how to properly give up one's body. What is that? Tavan Sankhya Yogya Vyansvadama Paranishtaya.
Anti Narayana Smriti. What's the third line? Etavad Sokya Sokya Yogina Sadhana Paranishtha. Janma Labha Parapungsam Anti Narayana Smriti. Yes. The highest perfection that one can achieve by discharge of his occupational duties. Is it from liberation from matter? To remember the Supreme Lord Narayana at the time of giving up this body. You have that verse there? I can't remember the full translation. Etavan Sankhya Yogya Vyan Svardhama Paranishtaya Janma Labha Parapungsam Ante Narayana Smriti. Anyways. 195. The highest perfection of human life achieved by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Prabhupada would oftentimes quote the verse Antakali Chamamiva Smaran Mukva Kalevaram. Whoever remembers me at the time of death once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. And it's interesting how Prabhupada speaks about this smaranam in the commentary of that verse, of the remembrance of the Lord. He says that the best way to constantly is to remember the Lord is to incessantly chant the holy name of the Lord. He uses the word incessantly in reference to smaranam, remembrance. So these and many other verses give evidence that perfection of life is to be conscious of the position of the Supreme Lord and our connection with Him at the time of giving up this body. Here Srila Prabhupada in the commentary of the verse explains that the best process of devotional service for achieving remembrance is through hearing. Just like we read the other night, he said, when one hears, then it's not that one hears and then everything becomes stopped. I think we were reading in the commentary. He said, no. It's when one hears, then he goes out and he chants. In one lecture, Prabhupada says, first there is hearing, then one chants, he glorifies, he repeats that what he has heard, and then Vishnu Smaranam will be there. Remembrance of the Supreme Lord will be there. But he says the most important, in this commentary today, the most important item of all, and therefore, the first item, hearing, is the most important item of all. And therefore, hearing of the Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhijmadeva. Shinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridantisto Yabhanyani Vidunoti Suhitsitam. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul, referred to here in this verse in the heart of all living entities. He cleanses desire for material enjoyment from within the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So, hearing means that one actually has to hear about the activities and name, form, qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by that hearing, then gradually what happens is a natural attraction awakens in the heart for the Supreme Lord. How to develop that attraction for hearing? Shushu Shoshana Dhanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Sian Mahat Seva punyatirtha nishevanat. Shushusho shanadana shivasa deva kata ruchi. By serving devotees, great devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one develops an affinity, an attraction for hearing about Krishna. Devotees will oftentimes ask that question, you know, how to develop a taste or attraction for hearing and chanting. Of course, Rupa Goswami explains in his Upadeshamrita that the holy name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are naturally sweet, just like sugar candy. But one who has been afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, he cannot taste that which is sweet. He says, but it's very wonderful, but if one very carefully goes on chanting the names of Krishna every day, then gradually a natural attraction for that holy name of the Lord awakens within his heart, and the disease becomes destroyed at the root. So, although we may not have that taste, and Prabhupada oftentimes said that the reason why we don't have that taste is because we've been afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, or ignorance. I remember Bhrigupati Prabhu, we used to distribute with him. We were in Hartford, Connecticut in 1977 and distributing books, and we had a book distribution training center from all the book distributors from the region in New York, Boston region. They would come for training in Hartford, and Bhrigupati Prabhu, I'm sure you all know who he is, a book distributor, still distributing books in Los Angeles. Anyways, I remember going out with him, and we were doing the marathon, and he would open up, he'd tell people, he'd have a candy cane, and he'd tell them, please open your mouth. And people open their mouth, and he'd look inside, ah, just what I thought, you have the jaundice of avidya. He said, you need to taste something sweet. That's how we would stop people on Sankirtan. We were to tell some Sankirtan stories today, but somehow that one just came across my mind when we were referring to that verse about the jaundice of avidya. A person cannot taste anything sweet. So he would stop people by telling everyone they were inflicted with a terrible disease of avidya. Then give them a candy cane and introduce them a book. But Rupa Goswami says that, you know, that for a person who's afflicted with the jaundice of avidya or ignorance, he cannot taste anything sweet, but it's very wonderful. But that if he very carefully goes on chanting every day, carefully, attentively, you know, just as the sun in the sky is always bright, there's no question of clouds or darkness or fog covering the sun. It is always throwing off light. But according to our obstructed vision, due to the presence of clouds or fog, we may not be able to see or appreciate the light of the sun. So in the same way, the holy name of the Lord is always Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Shiro Niti Mukta Binadva Nama Namino. The holy name of the Lord is transcendentally blissful. It is non-different from Krishna. It bestows all benedictions because it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of pleasure. It is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is never contaminated by material nature. It is eternally liberated and spiritual, and never comes under the influence of the modes of material nature. This is because Krishna and Krishna, his name, they are non-different from one another. So why do we not feel the full presence of Krishna's name? Why do we not relish the sweetness in the same way that Srila Rupa Goswami describes how much nectar is contained within the two syllables Krishna? When one He chants these two syllables and he desires to have many millions of tongues to chant them. And when he hears these two syllables, and then he desires to have many millions of ears to hear the names of Krishna. And when these two syllables, Krishna, when they dance within the courtyard of his heart, and then the mind becomes conquered and the senses become inert. So he describes that how much nectar, how much bliss, how much taste there is in these two syllables, Krishna. But for a person who still has the clouds of anarthas and the fog of ignorance, he cannot actually directly experience the fullness of the or the brightness of the sun due to the presence of clouds or fog. In the same way, we cannot completely experience the full manifestation of Krishna, who is contained within his name and within the descriptions of his pastimes. But nonetheless, Krishna is personally there. Krishna told Arjuna, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. He said, oh, Narada, I am not in the Vaikuntha planets, nor am I in the hearts of yogis. But you'll personally find me in that place where my devotees are chanting my glories. Therefore, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Krishna, what is that? Rama Sadyukabu Noi Shravanadi Suti Chaita Koryayu Doi. Pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. When the living entity hears about Krishna, naturally from the right source, then what happens is that pure love, which is lying dormant within the heart, is awakened from within the heart when he comes in contact with Krishna. Just as Prabhupada says that fire is within wood, but in order to bring that fire out from the wood, it has to come in contact with the catalyst. You put it in touch with fire, and then the fire comes from the wood. In the same way, Krishna consciousness or pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. So it's already there, lying dormant within the heart. But the catalyst is hearing about Krishna. Such is the power of hearing. When the hearing enters into the heart, satam prasangam amaviya sambhado bhavanti hritkana rasayanakata. Taj Joshan Rashva Pavarga Vartmani Shradharati Bhakti Anukramishuti. The discussions of the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they become very pleasing. Satam Prasanga Mamavi. Discussions of pastimes of the Supreme Personality, very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. As one gradually advances along this path of devotional service from Shraddha, beginning from hearing with faith, gradually what happens is he becomes freed from unwanted things, his attraction becomes fixed, and then real devotion and devotional service begins. And Prabhupada would many times quote this verse, Satam Prasangam Mamavir Samvado, that one has to hear the descriptions and narrations of pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the devotees of the Lord. And what happens is that gradually the unwanted things, the anarthas, they gradually become cleansed from the heart, and then attraction, real attraction to Krishna becomes fixed. And this verse is evidence that actually all the way from Shraddha to Prema, Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishuti, Shraddha to Prema, one actually has to go on hearing about the activities of the Supreme Lord. Such is the power. And therefore, that is why Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here that the most important is hearing the holy name, about the holy name, form, qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the Harinam Chintamani, he says that that for the living entity, he said there are two truths, I think. Yeah, that's right. There are two truths in this material world. The living entity and the holy name. He said they are the actual only truths that exist within the material world. He said everything else is like described in the... I saw it here, the Kevalashtakam. What is it? Abrahma stambapayantam sarvamayamayam jagat. Satyam satyam puna satyam harinama eva kevalam. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusions... What is this? Is this this translation? This is Dravida's poetic? Okay. Because this is not the translation I'm familiar with. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Sri Hari, the holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Dravida puts his poetic signature, yes, and everything. So, everything there is no in this world is illusory, but the only reality, again, reality is the holy name of Sri Hari is everything. So the living, he says, the living entities, and then the holy name. He said every object has four characteristics. It has a name, it has a form, it has certain qualities and function or activities. And he says that, but the living entity, his first contact with Krishna in this world, is that when he comes in contact with the name, then by coming in contact with the name, that is our first contact. And then from the name will come, one will gradually be able to realize the form, the qualities, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But without having first come in contact with the name, then these things cannot be revealed. So the Lord is so kind that he has made himself easily accessible. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one verse that describes that is spoken by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. One who has to hear about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There is no other way, actually, to taste the sweetness of Krishna's names. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami quoted this verse in reference to, it was Rupa Goswami. He was writing the verse from Vidagdha Madhava. He was writing the verse about how much nectar is in the syllables Krishna, and that verse... He began his writing. It was ordered by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya came and he asked Rupa Goswami, and he said, "What are you writing?" And he looked. He said, "Oh, Rupa Goswami's his writing is like the string of pearls. It's so wonderful." And he asked him to please to recite that verse which he had been writing. So he recited that verse about the nectar of the syllables of Krishna's name. And when he recited that verse, when Haridas Thakur heard the recitation of that verse by Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur began chanting and dancing and crying, falling on the ground in ecstasy. moved to spiritual emotions, you know, simply by hearing. Of course, this is not the first time Haridas Thakur was moved to experience such a thing. Also, there's a description in Chaitanya Bhagavat how when the snake charm physician was reciting the glories of Ananta, and Haridas Thakur, you know, heard the glories of Lord Anantadev, and he was passing by, and immediately he was remembering the Lord, and he fell down in ecstasy. And the snake charmer physician, or the snake bite physician, I think it was referred to, immediately stood there, and he folded his hands, and everybody saw him, and everybody else just stood in reverence, waiting for Haridas Thakur to come to external consciousness. And then finally he came to external consciousness, and he was embarrassed, you know, because a devotee never wishes to display such symptoms publicly. And he was embarrassed that such an event had happened in the presence of so many others, and he just walked away. So one envious Brahmin who was standing by there is thinking, all such respect and reverence is given to this personality who was born had taken such a low birth in the family of Muslims. And I'm a Brahmin, so he was thinking that he also deserved a similar respect. So he fell to the ground and also began manifesting symptoms of ecstasy, rolling on the ground. And the snake bike physician immediately took a stick and began beating him. And of course, he immediately, because he was not really in ecstasy, began running in fear for his life at the thrashings of the snake bike physician. And all the people were standing around wondering, why is it that when Haridas Thakur was displaying such symptoms that the snake bite physician stood there with respect, but when this Brahmin did so? And the snake bite physician explained that he's simply envious of Haridas Thakur. He is an envious Brahmin. He has no ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. And then he began chanting the glories of Haridas Thakur. How Haridas Thakur was spontaneously attracted, always incessantly chanting the holy names of the Lord. So Haridas Thakur in this pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita also, when he heard this verse from Srila Rupa Goswami, he fell to the ground and began manifesting ecstasy upon hearing this wonderful verse about the glories of the name of the Lord. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that one has to hear about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures of Vaishnavas. From no other place can one actually obtain the sweetness of Krishna's holy name. Madhuram madhurebhyo pi mangalebhyo pi mangalam. The first verse of Kevalashtakam. This is the sweetest of all sweetest things. Although it is so naturally sweet, still, for a person who is afflicted with the jaundice of vinya, cannot taste anything sweet. But nonetheless, as described in this verse today about Bhishmadev, Prabhupada said that in order to be able to remember the Supreme Lord, Ante Narayana Smriti, remember the Supreme Lord with full remembrance, Therefore, one actually has to be fixed in his consciousness in remembrance of the Supreme Lord, and he becomes so by most important by beginning by hearing about the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says that the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhishmadev, the unique situation, even though Lord Krishna was not personally present, the unique situation at Bhishmadev's time of death can be attained, even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. So we know this is another manifestation of the Lord. He appears in the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, and when the Bhagavatam is recited, then that sweet taste becomes even sweeter when recited by the devotee of the Lord, who makes that Bhagavatam even sweeter, just as the parrot, when biting into the fruit, makes that fruit sweeter. Nigamakalpataro galitambalam. So you'll have to help me on this one. Yes. So the Bhagavatam becomes even sweeter. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord, as Prabhupada says right here, that the devotees of the Lord must always be aware that ultimately this human form of life is especially meant for dying like Bhishma Dev. This is the perfection, as we explained in that verse in the Bhagavatam, Antinarayana Smriti, that we should ultimately be prepared to give up this body in the same way that Bhishma Dev gave up his body. Of course, Bhishma Dev had his choice that he could give up his body at will at the appropriate time. And he gave up his body in the presence of the Supreme Lord himself. He was personally present before Bhishma Dev at the time. And therefore, Bhishma, with his senses and his mind and his consciousness fully absorbed, and seeing the form of the Supreme Lord, he voluntarily gave up his body in full remembrance of the Lord, seeing the Lord. And that's why Srila Prabhupada said right here that even if the Lord is not personally present, nonetheless, one can still be in the personal presence of the Lord by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in the association of devotees of the Lord. The Lord becomes personally present, as we quoted in that verse, Naham Tishtami Vaikunte, and how he also becomes personally present in the manifestation of his name. That anyone, Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar Namahoite Hoisava Jagat Nishtara, in the age of Kali, the Lord appears in the form of his holy name, and anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord is as good as associating with the Lord directly, and certainly he becomes delivered. So, this is such a great fortune that Prabhupada made Krishna's name and Krishna's glories so easily accessible to the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Lord Chaitanya as an ocean of mercy. He says, although the subject of bhakti is very difficult to understand, especially in this age of Kali, nonetheless, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he has made bhakti so easily accessible to everyone in Kali Yuga. Easily accessible. Just as Lord Chaitanya explains also in the Shikshastika prayers, that the Lord has made himself very easily accessible by his names, that anyone... Although I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them, but nonetheless, in Krishna's name, he has made himself so easily accessible. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's made himself so easily accessible in Kali Yuga, although ordinarily bhakti is very difficult to achieve. We were speaking, I think, with Srila last night, remembering that verse. What is it, Narada, was it to Yudhishthira Maharaj? He says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said that that I can see that you are very fortunate, because not only is Krishna your God, your Guru, your head, the head of your family, but I can see that also that you are very fortunate that Krishna has become your servant and he's become your messenger. And he said, Krishna will give one liberation very easily, but he doesn't give devotional service very easily, because when he gives somebody devotional service, he has to give himself. And he said, therefore, he said, I can see you're fortunate because Krishna, he's become your messenger. As you know, he was the messenger of Yudhishthira Maharaj, who went to Duryodhana to carry his message, trying to avert the disaster of the Kurukshetra war. And so... ordinarily, devotional service is not very easy to obtain, but nonetheless, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's made devotional service, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Lord Chaitanya for making devotional service so easily accessible in the age of Kali. What was previously so very difficult to obtain in the age of Kali, and it becomes very easy to attain. Kalea dosha nidhe rajan astiheko mahadguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangam puram vajet. That the age of Kali is like an ocean of faults, but the one redeeming quality for Kali Yuga, has one good quality, that is kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangam param vajhet, that simply by chanting Krishna's name, one can achieve all perfection, mukta. He can actually achieve liberation, go back home, back to Godhead. This is Lord Chaitanya's great contribution for the living entities, and this is how the Lord has made himself so easily accessible. He's come to distribute devotional service to himself in the form of his own name. Therefore, as it's described that previously when Krishna came, Prabhupada speaks about how that when Krishna came, he said, Sarva dhamma prityaja mamikam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papipa mokshishami ma shuchaha. He says, if you want to achieve freedom from all sinful reactions and to achieve me, then first you have to surrender. And so when Lord Chaitanya came, Lord Chaitanya took away that condition. And he said, actually, simply take. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took away the condition of surrender and said, you simply take. Prabhupada gives the example. So it's just like the child may be attracted to playing with a knife. And if you try to take the knife away from the child will resist and it becomes more dangerous. But if you give a nice, colorful toy to the child will reach out and take the toy. And by taking the toy, he automatically drops the knife. So Prabhupada gives the same example. How Lord Chaitanya is so very merciful and kind. He's saying, simply take this holy name. I've conjured. E nechi oshodi maya nashi bharulagi harinam mahamancha lao dumi magi. I've come to give this medicine of the holy name. Simply take it. Make your life successful. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach by his own example. So previously, when he came as Lord Krishna, he had that condition of surrender. But when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took away that condition. He said, simply take this holy name of the Lord. And he taught by his example, Yuga Dhamma Pravataimu Namat Sankatan Chari Bhava Bhakti Diyanachamu Bhavan. So I've come to establish the Yuga Dhamma for the holy and the age of Kali, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya. I will make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of ecstatic, loving, devotional service to me. And then he goes on to explain that I will come and I will teach devotional service by practicing it myself. So Lord Chaitanya came, and because we all need an example, he came and he taught by example. So Lord Chaitanya taught by his example, what is this real surrender? Just as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentaries to the Bhagavad Gita, and he just explains that the verse Sarva Dhamma Parityaja Mamikam Sharanam Bhaja, he describes that surrender to Krishna must be there. He said, but what is this surrender? And he said, the four characteristics of surrender were given in the previous verse. Manmana Bhava Madbhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru Mamivashishi Satante Pratijane Priyoshime. So he said, when Krishna is telling Arjuna to surrender, he says the four characteristics of that surrender were there in the previous verse. Always, to always think of me, to always worship me, to offer your obeisances unto me, surely you will come to me. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach by his example, by his own example. He came to teach what this surrender was. So how did he come to teach? He came to teach by his own example, by demonstrating the example of the topmost devotee who was always situated in remembrance of Krishna. He came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who was always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And by his example, he was teaching, what is this surrender? So, as Prabhupada said, that Sarva Dhammam Priyachaja, surrender to me, the four symptoms of surrender were to always remember Krishna. Worship Krishna, offer one's obeisances to Krishna. In this way, one will surely go to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, this is how Lord Chaitanya made the devotional service to Krishna so easily accessible because he said, I will teach devotional service by practicing it myself. And if he says, if one does not practice devotional service, then how can he teach? He cannot teach others if he does not practice it himself. And then he quotes, I think it's in the Adi Lila, he said, if he quotes the verse, Yad Yad Acharati Sheshtash Tatadevi Tirojanasa Yad Pramanam Kurute Lokas Tadhanavartate, that whatever actions are performed by great men, common men will follow in his footsteps. Whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. But he also quotes the verse that, oh, Paritanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Sapranataya Sambhuvami Yuge Yuge. And he says, I come to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, to reestablish the religious principles. And every millennium I come. Whenever there's a predominant rise of irreligious practice and decline of religious principles at that time, I advent myself. And he says that if I did not follow religious principles, then everyone would follow my example and the whole world would be put to ruination. Therefore, I have to come to teach myself what does it mean to be engaged in devotional service? So therefore, this is how Lord Chaitanya made devotional service so easily accessible, that he came and he taught by his own example, and he adopted the mood of the topmost devotee who was always absorbed in thoughts and remembrance of Krishna, always speaking about Krishna. And in this way, he delivered the method of surrender to Krishna by teaching it himself. So, certainly, this is the method for distributing the holy name of the Lord. This was a method for awakening faith in the process of devotional service. This is by associating with those devotees who actually are always hearing and chanting, Taeti sadava sadvi sarva zanga vivajita sangaste shvatate pratya sangando shaharahite. Lord Kapila Dev says to his mother Devahuti, well, in the previous verse, he says, Marashriya katamrishta shinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vividhastaipa naita manjati katachetasa. Engaged constantly in hearing and chanting about me, sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes in this world. Therefore, my mother, O virtuous lady, you have to seek out the association by such persons, become attached to hearing from them, because by becoming attached to hearing from them, then it will counteract all the pernicious effects of immaterial attachment. So, that is the point that Prabhupada is saying here, that if we keep ourselves in the association of devotees, hearing the transcendental narrations and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, continuously hear the glories of the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, and serve the devotees by hearing very eagerly, enthusiastically hearing from them, serving them, shushushoshana dhanasya vasudeva kataruchi, then gradually that attraction will awaken within the heart. And then when that attraction will awaken within the heart, then one that will actually be prepared to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. And the Lord is very merciful and very kind to the devotee, that desham nitya payuktanam yoga kshema vaham yaham. This is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintaya tomam yejana payupashante desham nitya payuktanam yoga kshema vaham yaham. To those who are always meditating on me, endeavoring to serve me. What is the translation? For them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So even though we may not be able to fully remember Krishna, by our constant endeavor to remember Krishna, then whatever we lack at the time of death, Krishna, he will give us whatever we lack and we will preserve what we have. And even though it may be very difficult to remember, Krishna will carry over and give us whatever we lack. Krishna, even to appear in our minds, he has to agree to appear. So, and therefore we may struggle, just like, was it you the other day giving the example of Narada Muni in the forest? I was sitting, I think it was you were having a discussion, sitting and meditating, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Oh Narada, I regret that in this life you will not see me again, but you will hanker for me, and the more you hanker for me, then all that is, all the residual pernicious things that are there within your heart will be burnt up, and you will be able to see me again." And Narada was endeavoring to try to see the Supreme Lord, trying in a mechanical way to do everything that he was doing before, but the Lord would not appear. So the Lord has to agree to appear, even if we want him to appear in our minds, appear in our hearts. We have to welcome him, make that place a very place that the Lord is inclined to appear within our minds. So if we constantly endeavor, Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam upayanti te, to those who are constantly endeavoring, worship me with love, then I give them the understanding with which they can come to me. So Prabhupada makes the same point here in the commentary. He said, what was it? The word that I noticed was, he said, persistently. He says, any one of them, of the nine processes of devotional service, all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee of the Lord. We have to be persistent in our endeavors or in our efforts, and then by that persistent endeavor to practice these processes of devotional service, then whatever we lack, then Krishna will carry for us. He will help. And whatever we have, Krishna will preserve for us. So certainly, endeavor must be there. We must make the effort, but ultimately we have to depend upon the mercy of the Lord in all of our endeavors. And if we want to achieve the ultimate perfection of life, Anti Narayana Smriti, which was achieved by Bhishmadev and is described here in this verse, we ultimately must achieve both the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. Both must be there. Atapi te deva padam buddha vaya dvaya pasarala sanugrahita evihi. Unless one gets a drop of mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, he'll never be able to understand the greatness of Krishna's personality. We're very much dependent upon that mercy. And as we know that the Lord is very much inclined to distribute that mercy to any devotee who makes the efforts to go on hearing and to go on chanting about him. What is that verse? Right, slipping my mind. Anyways, I think we've spoken long enough. I was going to tell a story. I remember, because I think you're going out on your book distribution today, and I was telling Vaisheshika Prabhu that I was remembering that going out in book distribution with him, 1975. I was sent to New York because I was distributing books also. I used to have a very difficult time distributing books. It might make some of you feel... For me, book distribution was very, very difficult in the first years of Krishna consciousness. I remember that, first when I joined the temple, I was in 1973. Temple president at that time, he made me sleep in the basement in the hot on the hard concrete floor. He wouldn't let me live in the temple. And then after a couple of weeks, he'd let me move upstairs, and then I had to beg him to let me shave my head. he wouldn't let me shave up, you know. He put everybody through a real, it was Trey Prabhu. Put everybody through a test. And I had hair down the bottom of my back. And we had no buzzers at that time. And Srinath, remember Srinath? Godbrother left his body. Anyways, he shaved me up. And we had to use scissors. And like for a half hour, he was cutting all this hair and throwing it on the ground. And then he used the razor, and it looked like a battlefield. We finally, must have taken an hour. And then right after I shaved my head, first thing Trey told me to do, now go out and distribute books. I had my head, it was like scars all over. You know, I had to put that septic pencil on my head to get it to stop bleeding. And I remember going out and downtown Providence, Rhode Island, he gave me some newspaper bag to distribute all by myself. And I was standing there, you know. And for me, it was very hard to distribute books. And it was like that for a long time. And sometimes I'd cry, and you know, it certainly wasn't compassion, tears of compassion. And Trey used to take me off Sankirtan and bring me back to the temple sometime and pacify me, but then always send me out again. And this happened many times over a course of a couple of years. And there's another story in this connection, I'll tell it, but I'm leading up to, you know, to going out with Vaisheshika Prabhu. And I think at one time they recommended that, why don't you go distribute with some of the distributors in New York and see if that will help, you know. Because it's like, you know, either you distribute books. I mean, nobody stay back at the temple. I mean, you distribute books, you go out in Harinam, and there's just not many devotees back at the temple. And so I remember being with Vaisheshika Prabhu. He was just distributing. I went with Pragosh, Vaisheshika. I think it was Kashiram. I think he was the other person who went. Of course, he's not Kashiram now. He's about Prema Kishore, yeah. But I went out with Vaisheshika Prabhu. One day we went to Penn Station, and I'm sure he's probably just distributes the same books the same way now as he did then. It was so remarkable that. I was trying to figure out, you know, he always had what to say on book distribution. And the first person he approaches, because he's like, it's this ball of enthusiasm. I mean, there's no question of hesitation. That's one, hesitation is a word that does not exist in Vaisheshika Prabhu's dictionary. You know, like, as soon as he got in, I remember, like, put the books down and just start. You know, like, first person, doesn't make it. If it two legs, it walks. You know, so I was always like this calculating, you know, like, should I approach this? And the first thing he says is, hi, we're passing these books out to everybody. We want everybody to love God. You want to love God, don't you? And I was thinking, I was always trying to find Eliza saying, and he's just saying, you know, like, you want to love God, don't you? Everybody wants to love God. Here, we're giving these books out to everybody. Plus, this first person. You might not remember this, but this sticks in my mind. And you were probably, what, only about 18 then?
75, yeah.
Yeah. I remember you were so young, bright face, you know. It's like, and... And the person took the book, and I was thinking, wow. And then the next person, same thing, same lines. You look like my grandfather. And he starts saying how his grandfather looks. And the guy was so, his heart was just completely melting. You know, nobody ever said that to you. And there's a certain thing, you know, to build confidence. I think there's a verse in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam about Prahlad Maharaj, how just by seeing Prahlad Maharaj in his devotional service, it gives one faith to remember the Supreme Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, I think it was Hiranyakashipu said, the nature of Prahlad Maharaj is his mind is like a tail of a dog. He said, every time you take a dog, his tail, and try to straighten it out, as soon as you let it go, immediately it goes. And he said, I see that with my son. He said, I can't take his mind away from him. And there was some verse which from Krishna. He can't take his mind away from Krishna. No matter what I do, I threaten to kill him. His mind is always just naturally drawn to the enemy. And there's one verse that describes how by seeing Prahlad Maharaj's, you know, fixity of thought in remembrance of the Lord, then anyone who sees it immediately awakens, you know, faith and attraction, a desire for Krishna consciousness simply by seeing him. I remember that, you know, seeing such conviction in Vaisheshika Prabhu, it gave me a little, you know, faith that, yeah, it can be done. Of course, I still continued to struggle. You pushed me. I remember you pushed me. Go ahead, now you do it. No, I just got to watch you. They pushed me to distribute some books in Penn Station. Penn Station is a passionate place. And people are just, to get them to stop in itself is a major endeavor. But, you know, in connection to this story, I mean, forgive me for telling something about my own life, but actually I think it's very relevant for, at least it was an experience that I had that really convinced me that of the power of doing something to please Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, and as I was telling Vaish last night, you know, Prabhupada certainly made it clear, at least we all felt it, Prabhupada's presence, that, you know, distributing his books was very pleasing to him. And I was telling Vaish last night, I was speaking to one devotee, a godbrother, his name is Jagadish Pandit, in Boston just a couple of weeks ago. He just told me this story just a couple of weeks ago. He said that when he was a new devotee, he was greeting Prabhupada in Los Angeles and at the airport, and he really wanted to get in close to Prabhupada. He was pushing him, edging his way in, getting close to Prabhupada. And finally he got right next to Prabhupada. And he was thinking, I'm so close to Prabhupada, I have to ask him something, you know, something. I mean, why? I can't, I've got to take advantage of this. So Prabhupada was standing there in the airport, and so Jagadish said, Srila Prabhupada, what can I do to please Krishna? And Prabhupada noticed, you know, he heard him, you know, and he turned to him, and Prabhupada said, are you distributing my books? And Jagadish Pandit said, yes, Srila, because he was on Radha Damodar at that time. And he said, yes, Prabhupada, I'm distributing your books. He said, oh, that is pleasing Krishna. So, it was, you know, obviously, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, you know, is, you know, Prabhupada made it very clear that's how you please Krishna. So, I had, as I was saying, in my early years of Krishna consciousness, it was a very struggle for me, distributing Prabhupada's books, and I never had any taste for at least a couple of years. And it was just always just, oh. And one day I remember I was out in traveling Sankirtan, and I got this realization, and I wasn't distributing a lot of books also, but I got this realization that if I'm going to make it as a devotee, I have to just make a commitment. That I have to make a commitment that I'm not going to go back to the temple. I'm going to stay out and distribute books. And I just began offering prayers. Srila Prabhupada, please, 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 let me surrender to your book distribution mission. Let me remember just very fervently praying. We were in the campground, you know, getting ready to go on book distribution that day and just praying. And then the Sankirtan leader called to give the report to the temple president, and the temple president said, put Naranjana on the phone. And right after all this intense prayers, I got on the phone to the temple president and said, Naranjana, he said, you have to come back to the temple. We need somebody to cook for the deities. I said, no, you're not serious, are you? No, I was really. I said, you don't understand. I just been sitting and praying, Prabhupada, you know, I have to stay out of book distribution. He said, no, the cook is not available to cook. You're the only Brahmin available to cook for the deities. You're not distributing so many books. So I actually put up a fight, you know. Of course, during those days, you never went against the temple president. Was Prabhupada's representative, you know. I was putting up a fight, and then he said, "No, you have to come." So, I surrendered. Okay, I said, "I'll go," and I went back to the temple, and I had to cook. For the deities, I was immediately instructed what my various responsibilities were. I had to make the daily sweet. I had to make the breakfast offering, the lunch offering. I had to cook for the devotees. I was in the kitchen from almost 11 hours straight, cooking all the offerings except for the last two offerings, the daily sweets, and for the devotees, breakfast and lunch. I was cooking the Sunday feast, I remember. And the temple president said, because I used to get up very early, chant all my rounds before going in the kitchen. So the temple president said, after you finish your duties in the kitchen, I happened to be also the only devotee who played Madanga. So he said, go out and join the Harinam party. What it was like in those days, you know. So I started to rationalize in my mind that, wait a minute, I was brought back to cook for the deities. So and I'm doing what I was told to do. I'm cooking for the deities, and I just said, I made that vow. I have to distribute Prabhupada's books. So I brought my karmi clothes down to the basement where the kitchen was, my Western clothes for going out, and I hid them in the closet. And when I finished cooking in the kitchen, every afternoon when I finished cooking, I wouldn't go upstairs. I'd change downstairs into my Western clothes, and I'd sneak out of the temple with books, and I'd go to Harvard Square and distribute books. And Harvard Square was really a difficult place. People were so puffed up. But I remember that, you know, I had to go someplace close. I didn't have much time to distribute books. And if I went someplace that was nice, it would take too long. And the real objective was somehow to go out and distribute some books. So I did this every day. I would sneak out after finishing my cooking and go out and distributing books in Harvard Square. And as I told you, for years, it was just always difficult. And then one day, I just got the most amazing taste. I couldn't figure out, you know, what? And it was so blissful. It was so relishable, just handing these books to people and just trying to get, even though like so many people were saying no, I realized that Prabhupada must have been pleased, you know, that There's no other way you can get a taste of unless Prabhupada's pleased. So I come back to the temple so blissful, and the temple president would see me and say, boy, you really surrendered to cooking for the deities, didn't you? He said, well, you're so blissful. And I never told him what I was doing. You know, I never told him I was sneaking out distributing books. I'm not saying who the president was. Ajah. Ajah was president, yeah. And one day, I guess he found out what I was doing. And he said, I can't keep you. I can see you're so blissful. Now I know why you're so blissful, because you go out distributing books. And he said, I can't keep you back anymore. And he said, and he just gave me the keys to the van, the Sankirtan van, and said, go out and traveling Sankirtan. And sent three devotees with me and said, load up the van, get out of here, don't come back. And it was just, I don't know, somehow it was some, it's definitely, Prabhupada said, I remember, also I remember, was it 75 or 76? Prabhupada was at Lantra, he said, the devotees who travel in vans and distribute my books get my extra special mercy. 75? Yeah, I remember when, I think that was right around the time when I was out, I was in the van, and when I heard that, I don't know about you, but I remember, boy, it drove us mad. Literally mad. You know, I was thinking, mercy? There's so much mercy already, and Prabhupada's ready to give extra special mercy? I remember all of us in the van, we're just sitting there discussing what must this extra special mercy be, you know? So we decided, let's go for that extra special mercy, you know? We decided to stay out longer on book distribution, you know? And, anyways, I guess, you know, the bottom line is don't get discouraged if it's difficult for you. I went through 2 years, at least 2 years, practically every day, crying, tears. And I felt at that particular day when I was praying like that, I felt that I'm not going to make it in Krishna consciousness unless I, you know, of course, look at me now. I'm not hardly out distributing books now, but it saved me anyways, at least at that time. But, that's, Prabhupada's definitely ready and still ready and willing to give his mercy to anyone who just makes a firm commitment and vow that, let me do this to please Prabhupada. There's something special when Prabhupada knows and Krishna knows that, well, there's no other reason, there's no other motivation there. You just want to do something because it's pleasing to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada made it very clear, distributing his books is very pleasing. So even a moment of that realization of doing something pleasing for the Srila Prabhupada can never be lost. The benefit and value of that moment's service can never be lost. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna may sometime fall down somewhere or other, certainly cannot become a fruitive worker again, for anyone who has once tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna will never be able to do anything but remember that ecstasy again and again. That moment of just doing something that's pleasing to Krishna's pure devotee will never be lost as eternal gain. So anyway, that's my little, you can tell many other Sankirtan stories, but that's my little story of my plight in book distribution. And then somehow I was able to go on distributing Srila Prabhupada's books until, I think it was 1977, actually, It's when they put me in charge of that training center in Connecticut for all the new bhaktas. That's when we had the story of Jack the Ripper and Pagosh. You tell them that story? Anyways, this is one story. I was put in charge of the center to train all the new devotees for book distribution in Connecticut, in our region in the Northeast. And it was 1977, marathon. Prabhupada had just left the planet. And
in Hartford.
In Hartford. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were there too. You were in New York at New York at the time. Yeah, Bhrigupati was with me. And all the bhaktas, Jack the Ripper was Judd Bharata. They were all new devotees. Prabhupada left the planet, you know, and none of them knew, like, you know, what their future was. And Pagosh came up to distribute books with us at that time during the marathon for a few days. It was just before Christmas time. And Pagosh was, you know, he was always like the top distributor. And on this particular day, it was the 24th, I think, I'm pretty sure it was the 24th, there was a prize that was being...
December 24th.
Yeah, December 24th. That the top distributor on that day was going to get Prabhupada's kirta. So it was a big, big... Of course, Pragosh was thinking, you know. He was just... He already had... tried it on practically. So I had this, all these new bhaktas that we were training, and we went out all day distributing. We got back very late at night. I don't know when it was. Maybe it was 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And Bhakta Jack, he had done a lot of books and had a big score. And he put his score down on the sheets and then he went up to sleep. And then Pagosh came back shortly after him and he knew that there was only one person in the whole zone that had any potential of beating him, and that was Bhakta Jack. So Pagosh came in, you know, counted up his books, put it down, put on the sheet, and he saw that he had done like a little bit more than Bhakta Jack. So he felt really good. He said, I don't even have to call. I don't think anybody else. He was, like I said, he was already putting on Prabhupada's kirta. So then I called the GBC at the time. And I said, what time does the marathon end? And he said, well, I guess Mangal Arati. You have to know Judd Bharata to the kind of person he was. But, So I went upstairs and I went to the sleeping bag and I said, Bhakta Jack. So Pagosh came back. He did like 10 more books or something like that than you. He said, but the marathon goes to Mangal Arati, I was just told. And he jumped up like and he said, I hear you. That's all he could say. I hear you. And he was pulling on his pants. He was putting on his jacket. He was putting on his shirt. He said, I hear you. He's running down the stairs. He said, let's go. And he was grabbing his book bag. And that's the only thing he was saying was, I hear you. So we jumped into the van, and he said, "Where are we going?" He said, "All you can say, I hear you. Like, I don't care. Let's go. Let's go." He said, "We have any books?" So we started driving around the streets at 1 o'clock in the morning, looking for people. Nothing was open. And we had stopped the vehicle, and he jumped out, run out, and the person, 1 o'clock in the morning, he started approaching them. "Excuse me, sir." And, you know, he'd hand him a book, he'd distribute a book, and, you know, we're just driving around the street. And finally, he distributed more books than for Ghosh. And they came back into the temple. And, you know, and he crossed out his score. And he put down his new score. And, you know, then when everybody got up in the morning, you know, Pagosh walked over to see what the other ones had done, because they hadn't been back yet. But he wasn't worried about them, you know, because he was worried about Bhakti Jack, who was already back. "I don't want to tell you. I mean," he was like, it was just he looks at me, he said, "What's this?" And I told him, I said, "Well, I called and found out that..." "The marathon went to Mangalarti." I can't tell the rest of the story, because I don't want to say the word that Pragosh said. But he took the clipboard and he threw it at the wall. He said, "What?" And he was really angry at me. He was really angry. As it turned out, you know, that actually I remember that they had to call off. He was so angry that we had to call off the prize. And they had to schedule it for a different day or something like that. But that was in the Hartford Pitching Center in 1977. Yeah, that was the... But that was like... That was a huge marathon. What? I think it was the biggest marathon yet, wasn't it? 77, right after Prabhupada left? That was the biggest marathon that we had worldwide. Devotees were just like, you know... Just again, what they were thinking, you know, Prabhupada left, but we've got to do what's most pleasing to Prabhupada. And remember, the devotees were distributing huge amounts of books.
I think Ram Vijay stayed up and did 1,000 books.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
All out. Yeah, it was all out. It was all out. Everybody was distributing, like, anything.
I mean, devotees staying up 24 hours for those.
Yeah. Anyways, that's just a little story. I should probably stop here. You have something you do after this now? You go for it? Okay. All right. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. Nandana Swami Maharaj ki jai.